Good morning to everybody. I hope that the feast is enjoyable for everybody. This year we have a lot of kids. This is a great joy for everybody. It's exceptional. It's beautiful to be here together with you, united, celebrating and praising the Lord our God. Our presence here is an occasion to be together, having moments of companionship, just like we have just seen. And we remember that He is among us in spirit. The Feast of Tabernacles is the feast of the family of God, our Father. By celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, we honor God the Father and accept the invitation of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Thus becoming a living prophecy of what is yet to come. A living witness through our personal example throughout the world. As Paul said, we are God's written epistle for the world around us. Let's read it together. Please turn to 2 Corinthians 3, verses from 2 to 3. It says, "You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of a living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart." We have done so much not to miss this appointment. We have left our homes, our jobs, some even their families, etc. We have been motivated by faith and with the hope of edifying ourselves in the Word of God. Or as we say in Italy, to recharge our batteries. Therefore, we realize who we have approached by His grace. Participating in this feast is a work that God has prepared for us, that we may practice it for our own good. He wants to rejoice with us in our joy. The bridegroom wants to rejoice over his bride full of joy and gladness. So that we could also say, just like David said in Psalms 4, verse 7, "You have put gladness in my heart, more than in the season that there, those people outside, that their grain and wine increased." If we are here, it is because we go against the tide. And while the world continues in its rebellion against God's commandments, we, on the other side, we rejoice in the grace of our God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those outside recognize that we do not follow their way of life, and they do all they can to make us desist from following the truth. Some of us are mocked and even mistreated and even persecuted. The world outside offers us many pleasures and many other things that satisfy the body, but that unfortunately enslave the mind. It's an illusion of false freedom, of lies. Rebellious men are even willing to wage war in pursuit of their peace. Isaiah prophesied for them. And we can read this in Isaiah 59, verse 8. So Isaiah 59, verse 8. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. The new generations, intoxicated by scientism, it is the intellectual attitude of those who consider the only valid knowledge to be that of a physical and experimental sciences. They have by now accepted human perversions as good and have embraced the new religion that is the worship of technology, thus becoming slaves to this idol that our fathers did not know. Many are those forced by the conditions of extortion to accept the perverse customs and worship this technological idol. For example, if you do not have the internet and electronic card on which all your personal information is recorded, and how can we live nowadays without having internet or an electronic card? So if you are not registered, you cannot work. You cannot buy, you cannot sell, communicate, etc. And in not too long time, cash will likely be abolished as well. Everything is being virtualized. What a scenario on the horizon. And what about the gender theory that is being imposed even in kindergarteners? Because they want to confuse children about their sexual identity. In Italy, we have very scary examples. Deceitful man, deceived in turn by the seducing spirit of minds, it is the prince of the power of the air, are fighting the battle to destroy the truth, the very name of Jesus. The prophet Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 8, verse 9, the wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? Since they have no future hope, they go repeating to themselves and to others. Enjoy life, because this is the only one you have. Then you die, and that's that. Any chance you don't take is lost forever. So take advantage of your opportunities. Forget about the Bible nonsense, churches, etc. Life is just too short. These seducers, through the media, in the workplace, everywhere, are advising us to give up believing and following a God who, according to them, will not save us and cannot help us, since he either does not exist or does not care about us. And they invite us to accept instead what the world offers us. It is important, brethren, to be careful not to give in to the lie and not to put trust in the world and what it offers us. We who are here, including, of course, those who are connected via the web and who, due to various impediments, are not present, but with their hearts are here with us. F- for all of those who have made the choice in whom to place our trust. God's word has much to say about whom to place our trust. So today we take a scripture that is particularly meaningful for our days and comforting to us because it shows us God's action on behalf of those who place their fate in His hands. So in this regard, let us go to chapters 36 and 37 of the book of Isaiah. Here there is a great example for all of us. So in chapter 36 of Isaiah, in these chapters, we find a very interesting story for us. A powerful conqueror, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, conquers the world, even the fortified cities of Judah, and everything becomes at his service. Precisely, not everything. Missing from the roll call is a small city, Jerusalem, which does not want to entrust its fate to this new emperor. Jerusalem refuses to bow down to this new emperor. Therefore, this conqueror tries to convince with flattery the citizens of this small kingdom to submit to him by renouncing their God, and he offers presumed freedom and economic well-being in exchange for submission to his power. From still in Isaiah 36, verse 4, we read, "What confidence is this in which you trust? I say you speak of having plans and power for war, but they are mere words. Now, in whom do you trust that you rebel against me? It is useless for you to look for those who will help you." He continued to say, "For it is by the will of the Lord that I have come to destroy." See how arrogant this conqueror is. The threat had appeared so frightening that Ezekiah's officials asked to speak in another language so as not to be understood by those who were on the wall. As we read in verse 11, where it says, "Please speak to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it, and do not speak to us in Hebrew in the hearing of the people who are on the wall." But the Assyrian became bolder and more threatening, so he raised his voice to insult the Lord. So reading from verse 13 to 20. "Then the Rabshakeh stood and called out with a loud voice in Hebrew and said, 'Hear the words of a great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Ezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you, nor let Ezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Ezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me by a present and come out to me. And every one of you eat from his own vine and every one from his own fig tree. And every one of you drink the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Be aware, lest Ezekiah persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Has any one of the gods of the nations delivered its land from the hand of a king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? Indeed, have they delivered Samaria from my hand? Who among all the gods of these lands have delivered their countries from my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem from my hand? His arrogance led him to underestimate and denigrate the true God. This conqueror considered himself an all-powerful God, as powerful men are today. So the three terrified and mortified officials returned to Hezekiah, tearing their robes, and the people who heard these threats humbled themselves and reported everything to their king. But what was King Ezekiah's reaction to all of this? Well, the scriptures tells us this. In Isaiah 37, starting from verse 1, it's quoted, "Well, he humbled himself before the Lord. When King Hezekiah heard it, that he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. As he sent his officials to seek the help of a servant of God, the prophet Isaiah, whom the Lord reassured him." If we keep on reading in verse 6. "Thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me." Then Hezekiah calmed down. The Assyrian king, in his arrogance, when he saw that Hezekiah gave no answer, sent this time a letter with a call not to trust in God, threatening him with extermination in case of resistance. At that point, Hezekiah was still giving no answer. Hezekiah took an official letter, and as we read in verse 14, "went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And he prayed again to the Lord. For the second time, the Lord answered through the prophet Isaiah." He comforted Ezekiah and reassured him, and at the same time pronounced the judgment of condemnation on the Assyrian king. And we can read this starting from verse 33, still in Isaiah 37. "Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor build a siege mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return. And he shall not come into this city, says the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." Then the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. Then the Assyrian king was killed in his home. The Lord has destroyed the entire army of a conqueror who has elevated himself to the place of God. He left nothing of him. That of Ezekiah is the right reaction of one who places his trust, his life, in the Lord. The king first humbled himself before the Lord by giving a beautiful testimony to the people. Then he stood before the Lord explaining his heart. For this reason, he was heard. This narration applies to our time and also to us, of course. Today is then, we live every day under the siege of the lie that wants to dominate us. Here we notice that the same technique and seduction of Satan reoccurs. Nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, "The Lord will surely deliver us." Because, says the king of Assyria, neither man nor God has resisted capture during the campaign of conquest. The plan of the man who follows the spirit of the world is always to conquer the whole world and subdue it. And as prophesied, there will be at the end of time an ungodly man who will rule the whole world by deception, claiming worship as a god. And this time it will be the last. We are living in the last times. We know that. Because many prophecies have been fulfilled and many more are about to be fulfilled. Isn't it true that our society through the media questions God's hand in the universe and his existence? And let's see the offer that the world has still. Remember the words, "Make peace with me, buy a present and come out to me, and every one of you eat from his own vine, and everyone from his own fig tree, and every one of you drink the waters of his own cistern, until I came and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards." This has the same meaning of Satan's offer. If you worship me, I will give you this and that. It is what we see in its early stages today. Now, I don't know about you in other countries, but in Italy we have these laws in which for every service we have to give a consent. We have to give all our data, all our infos about ourselves in order to have a service given us. So if you don't give consent to do with your data and yourself what they want, you can have no service. Or globally, if a state does not have the same system of government, then it is marginalized. This is the least that can happen to it. Who is today the new conqueror of the kingdoms of the world to whom everyone entrusts their lives? It is all the governments that have agreed to create the new world order with its perverted laws and the new religion that is the myth of scientific technological progress that denies any god and considers itself all-powerful. The whole world is subjected to this domination, which is seen as a powerful and eternal system. This conqueror, who for now hides his true nature of tyranny, will slowly subject all nations and peoples to his power. Man is now helplessly witnessing the legitimation of abominations and the encroachment of technology that is conditioning his life and thinking. And who can stop this process any longer? The Apostle John reveals that people are saying in Revelation 13, verse 4, "So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, 'Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?'" Only a most powerful being can stop it. God the Almighty, of course. We are powerless against this army of enemies of the truth, as King Hezekiah was. We feel encircled and closed within the walls. The world wants to have a domination over us. But God will fight for us if we trust him with complete confidence. He is the only one who can deliver us from sin and from all slavery. And has Hebrews 11 verse 6 quotes. Let's always remind, always keep in our minds the scripture. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We shall also recall the deliverance that the Lord accomplished through Moses to save the people of Israel, who were frightened standing before the powerful Egyptian army and couldn't see a way out. How can I say? Israel had no other choice. They were powerless. Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. As it's quoted in Exodus 14, verse 13, for your notes. Then the Lord parted the sea. How amazing is our God! We remember that what the Apostle Peter wrote for us in 2 Peter 2, verse 9. We can read it together. 2 Peter 2, verse 9. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. So in conclusion, brethren, faced with these tempting spirits, we are called to make a choice. We could passively accept what the world offers us and surrender to its passions, or humble ourselves and go trust to our Creator God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we made the right choice to be with our God. We chose life when we trusted in his grace. So we rejoice and we exult together in the presence of the eternal our God, who frees us from all trouble if we stand ready for battle, having put on his whole armor. Where it is impossible for us to win by our own strength, there he upholds us in our weaknesses and fights for us. These feast days are an opportunity for us to grow and be strengthened in the Lord. We could find our strength just in our Lord. It is on these occasions that the church, gathered together, is built up with power by the Spirit of God. So let us rejoice and sing to the Lord with pure hearts, full of joy and gladness, because he's good and faithful and watches over us for our good. And I would like to conclude this message quoting a last scripture, which would be Matthew 25 verse 23. So Matthew 25 verse 23. Let's conclude with these beautiful words. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." What a magnificent lot is reserved in that day for those who follow the Lord. Praise, glory, and honor to God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Have a happy feast.